Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Psy Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Psy.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Psy Effect Radio Show. I am your host, Psy. Thank you for joining me today. Today's special guest is comedian Rodney Perry. You know, I started out doing comedy about 7-8 years ago, and let me just say, I totally respect the grind and hustle of a comedian. I think that's the most dirtiest grind of them all, besides the music game. And today, Rodney's going to share some things you probably don't know about him. And also, before we speak to Rodney, I'm going to share one more thing about Rodney that you probably don't know. Yo, check this out.
Yeah. Joking! Yeah. Check it out. Let me see if I can get on this beat. It's Rodney Perry. It's my freestyle. I'm trying to make folks laugh and I'm rocking. My name is Rodney, and I'm always clocking these jokes in your face as I stroke this mace as I rock down the street, and I let you know that I am the one that'll rock the show. Let your people know that I'm here to go upside your head with these jokes. My name is Rodney, and it ain't no hoax. It's not an accident that I flow. It's not a myth that I know that I will rock the show each and every day I go, and I let you know that I rock the show when I'm the one that won't quit. I never sit down and I'm talking shit, cause I will rock this motherfucking mic. My name is Rodney Perry and I'm here for you tonight. Step into the club, I say what's up to the young comics as I step through. I let you know that I'm gonna do what you do when better. Wetter. Makes you know that I will go get her. That microphone. Rodney Perry, very seldom go wrong. I ain't gonna lie, I done bombed before. I let you know that I don't always go all the way right. But to see me bomb is to see a sight, cause I rarely do that. I rock it nice and I will subject you to hilarity, Rodney, parity, rocking it on the mic, see, the MIC, you notice me, history, look for me, making this be all the way to the T-O-P, R-O-D-N-E-Y, rocking this shit, you ask me why, how do you do what you do today, my name is Rod and I don't play, I quit school cause it had recess.
That is the hilarious comedian Rodney Perry. I bet you guys didn't know he was an MC either. You know, a lot of comedians have a lot of secret talents that, you know, you guys don't know about. But we're going to find out what else Rodney's been up to right after this quick commercial break. Attention all aspiring comedians. Do you think you're funny? Do you have what it takes to be a comedian? Come out to the Green Room Actors Lounge, 25D Bennett Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30309, and attend the Never Deny Improv class with comedian actor Mr. Rodney Perry every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to rodneyperry.com or thegreenroomactorslounge.com. See you there. Tune in to the Psy Effect Radio Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your hot topics, hot interviews, and hot music. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Psy Effect Radio Show. See you there.
I want to welcome the very funny, hilarious, crazy, make you laugh until you pee in your clothes, Mr. Comedian Rodney Perry. Welcome to the show, Rodney.
Man, I made nobody pee on themselves in a while. I didn't know what to do about that.
You know you be making people pee in their clothes. You got to pass out the pens at the ticket line before they come in.
No, the real deal is that I only work for people that's already in the pen. So, you know, I try to get them easier to make them pee on this stuff because they got weak bladder.
Hilarious. Rodney, I first want to say happy belated anniversary to you and your lovely wife, Angela, of 16 years.
I know. She's still putting up with my mess.
What's the secret to a long-lasting relationship while in the crazy business of Hollywood?
Man, what's the secret, man? You know, a good friend of mine, a comedian Rod Band, I heard him say one time, and I thought it was really profound. He said the secret to staying together is just going home every night. he said, the minute you miss a night, going home is almost over. So I think that's kind of profound. The reality is that neither one of y'all can get to that place at the same time. Like, you know, through a long relationship, you know, every time there's always somebody that want out. Y'all can't get there the same day.
Right.
You know, if you get to, you know what, I don't like you no more, and she said the same thing, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a wrap, a Reynolds wrap.
A Reynolds wrap. Well said.
Now, Rodney, secondly, I would like to thank you for serving our country. Many don't know that you were a Navy man.
Yeah, I were, and I still am. I mean, I served my country proudly. I was at a crossroads in 1990. I had been in college for like a year or so, and I had my oldest daughter on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was at a point where, you know, my mother was taking care of me, and I couldn't see her taking care of me and mine. So I joined the Navy to just to help support my daughter, you know, and end up being one of my better decisions, you know, because I met some lifelong friends and some and I became a man.
Wow. I know being a comedian while pursuing the world of comedy as a profession is a hustle. What other jobs have you had before pursuing comedy?
I stripped for 6 months. That's a lot.
I was going to say, can you make your booty jump? You know, your left cheek, right cheek, you know.
Nah, male strippers don't booty jump, you know, unless it's terrible. You don't want to see that. That ain't cute. One, dudes don't be clean enough for that. You know, dudes don't be wiping good. So they can't do that. But anyway, I had some great jobs, man. I managed an apartment building. I worked for a modeling agency for a time.
Wow.
I did a lot of clerical temp work. I worked at the VA, the Veterans Administration, and I was it was 1998. I was considering getting out of the not 98, it was like 2000. I've been in LA for 2 years already, and I was temping and doing some, you know, odd jobs after I got out of the military. I met this dude at the VA. And he, you know, we had a conversation that changed my life. He looked at me one day and asked me, you know, what was I doing there? And I was like, well, you know, I'm doing data entry, dog. He's like, no, why are you here and not doing your dream?
Mm.
And that was the question I needed to get me going full steam because, you know, when you take that leap of faith, people don't tell you the real life still be right there waiting on you. So
yes.
He just reminded me the reason I made the move to come to Los Angeles in the first place. And we've been doing stand-up comedy for a living ever since.
What a pivotal moment. Amazing. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, now with that word.
You heard me trying to play it out, right?
So you trying to get it right. You're close, so you're that pivotal, you know. That was big. Yeah, that was a big moment.
I know, right? You know, any word over four letters, you know, I have to take it slow. I have to use my Janet Jackson tone and watch my tongue because, you know, I have a fat tongue. So I have to make sure
that's,
that.
Now that's a plus now. Don't downplay the fat tongue. We like that.
Rodney, you crazy. Now, do you remember your first paid comedy gig, that first check?
Wow. I really do, and I'll tell you why. Early on in my career, I was a part of a comedy team, myself and my best friend, Harry. And Harry's name is Harry Ratchford. Harry is actually now currently a writer for Kevin Hart. But
wow.
Harry and I, we were roommates in the Navy, and we became this comedy team, right? So his name is Harry Ratch, but I'm Rodney Perry, so we were Ratch and Rod, comedy coach. Right? So we Ratch and Rod, and so, you know, the people around the base heard we was funny. So one of the guys came to me, we set up the gig. It was some odd dollar amount. It was like $176.58, something crazy, right? And we did, and back in them days, we would make up the show, like, in the mirror in our room before we went out,
right.
You know. And we went out there, and we did the show, and we were so blue. We was cussing. It was so, they were so mad at us. But they paid us. And that was our first check. And, man, we've been rocking out ever since. He's still one of my best buddies in the world. And, you know, he connected with Kevin Hart. Actually, I'm going to go on record. I ain't even told. Kevin Hart stole my friends. Kevin didn't have no friends. He took two of my best friends, and they both work for Kevin now because I'm, you know, me and Kevin used to play John Madden football together. And
right.
So I would go over to Kevin's house, and we would play ball. Well, Harry would roll with me sometime. And Harry's wife and Kevin's wife at the time became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm the only one still married, and they got each other.
Kevin, swagger jacking friends. You know what? I'm not even shocked.
Yeah. That's, I told him. I said, my friends back. Wait until I start making some money. I'm going to buy my friends back.
Now, which comedian or comedians influence you to do what you do?
Oh, man, it's so many. I mean, when you're on this journey, I'm influenced by people you heard of and people you haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people like Toni Royster who walked up to me one day and told me to make sure I take all that stuff out of my pocket. You know, I'm on stage, pockets full of stuff, keys, you know, watch. You know, he's like, man, what you got that shit in your pockets for? Or John Austin, who when he found out I was moving to L.A., told me, say, Rodney, you have moments when you're brilliant, and you got to find a way to harness those moments when you want to. Or like, you know, I've toured with some great people. George Lopez, first guy to take me on the road. Sid the Entertainer was my mentor early on. Kim Whitley, first person to give me a job in Hollywood. So, you know, they all have helped. And, of course, you know, my connection with Monique, who is it's been invaluable to me. I mean, I call her my personal angel. So along the way, I've had some great influences. And I tell people I have a great pedigree, you know,
mm-hmm.
because not a lot of people can say they work with Sid, Monique, George Lopez, and Steve Harvey.
Yes, that was definitely a blessing. God was looking out for you and put the right people in your path along this journey. That's amazing.
I used to work for Stevie Wonder. Hello.
What? Really?
That's right.
What did you do for Stevie?
Well, I worked at a radio station in L.A. called KJLH, and Stevie Wonder owns the station. So this is a quick Stevie Wonder story. So I'm in the studio one day, and Stevie Wonder had started coming to the station to be like a radio personality, because he used to play on the air with Steve Harvey, and then he would come down and hang out with us someday. Well, this particular day, people would kind of be hating on Stevie. So Stevie, I was scared to talk to him. So he would come in the room, I wouldn't say nothing, because I felt like he was going to tell me to go home, and I didn't want to go home. So I just would be quiet. So he would come in the room, he would sit behind the console, everybody else would leave, and they would leave me in the room with Stevie, right? So I'm sitting there one day, he in the room, and somebody was, I swear to God, way down the hall talking about him. Like, what's Stevie doing here? Who do you think he is? And he looked at me. He was like, well, he didn't look at me. But he looked in my direction. He said, I swear to God, this happened. He said, hey, look down the hall and see who that is talking about me. I'm saying to myself, what the hell are you talking about? Because I can't hear what he hears. Sure enough, somebody was down in the hall talking. I told who it was, and then I don't think they got fired, but somebody got in trouble.
That's crazy. What an awesome
story. I never
told
that story. That's exclusive.
Oh, man, exclusive Rodney Perry Stevie Wonder story on the Side Effect, y'all. That's what's up.
Love it.
Now, in your opinion, Rodney, with you being a professional comedian, writer, et cetera, et cetera, what elements are essential to a great comedic performance, in your opinion?
Fearlessness. You cannot be afraid and be a good comedian. You have to be fearless. You have to be, which goes hand in hand with confidence, and you got to be willing to just go. You got to be willing to go, you know, whether it's good or bad. You know, there'll be moments, and then you got to have some good material because your material is your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a solid foundation, and then you got to have some great improvisational skills because you got to be able to make an audience feel like you're creating in the moment. Like, the best comics make you feel like they're creating right on the spot, even though we all kind of know, at least have an idea what we're going to do.
Right. Do you think comedic ability are something someone either has or does, or do you think it's something that can be learned?
I do believe you can learn. There's a A, B, C, X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3 to what I do. So you can learn the nuts and bolts to being a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do believe some people are born with those abilities, but
right.
Like, this is the thing that separates the men from the boys. It's work ethic. Like, I've known talented people that were born comedians that didn't work at it. You know, like, Michael Jordan is a gifted basketball player, but he still had to go in the gym and shoot the ball in all of those different situations. So what will happen is that guy who's naturally gifted or that girl who's naturally gifted, if he or she doesn't work at that thing, then that person that's not naturally gifted will find their way. Because
right.
You can practice and you can get good. So there is no substitute for work ethic, not even God-given ability.
I'm with you on that. Now, I also remember the first time I bombed on stage. Do you remember the first time you bombed on stage?
I remember bombing many times, you understand me? First of all, this is the thing. Let me tell your audience what the bomb is, first of all. The bomb is when the air leaves your lungs and you can't breathe. All your mind fails you. Everything will fail you at the same time. And then people, while everything is failing, your body is betraying you, then people decide to boo at the same moment. It's so scary, and I don't wish it on, like, even now, if I'm at a club and I see somebody bombing, it hurts me. I'm like, oh, man, come on, get out of there, kid. I'm like the Rocky Balboa. Get out of there, Rocky, I'm telling you. He's murdering you, kid. Yeah.
Run, man, hurry.
Yeah, but I've had some pivotal moments in my life, you know, be that moment. I mean, my scariest time on stage was Showtime at the Apollo, which I didn't bomb, but I was so afraid, you know, which goes back to the confidence I talked about, man. I was scared, man. You know, them people at the Apollo, they be outside online warming up to boo your ass.
Exactly.
Boo, 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 boo.
They be gargling with Listerine.
Oh my God. They be gargling with boo juice. You know, so they do not play. But when I was about to make my decision to leave the Navy and move to L.A. 1998, I was, first of all, murdering stages in the Bay Area, right?
That's why I was
at the time. I was killing them, and I got to that point, so my friends had talked me up, and I ended up on the best show in L.A. at the time, which was Fat Tuesday's Guy Tori Show. I go down there. I get on stage. I'm not on stage 45 seconds, and I'm starting to get booed.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm trying to, you know, when you get booed, you try to, you know, retaliate. You try to talk about people.
Right.
It's like a wildfire, though. You can't put the fire quick enough. So next thing I know, I'm getting full-fledged booed. Guy told me, he came to me, he said, look, man, you can't talk about my audience like that. This just ain't your night. And now I'm devastated, right? I leave the stage, I go behind the curtain, and I'm sitting there going, this is not why I came down here. Now, mind you, in life, I'm contemplating getting out of the military to be a comedian.
Right.
And I can't cut it. In my mind, I can't cut it in L.A. So now I'm going through it. Guy Tori is killing me. Yo, I hope that dude didn't fly out here because he can't gonna be able to get back on the plane with them bombs. You know, you're killing me. I'm playing this in my head as I'm telling you the story. So now I'm behind the sheer curtain at the Comedy Store. Somebody in the audience says, "Hold up, though. He didn't get a chance." Somebody else said, "Let him come back. He didn't even get a chance. He wasn't up there, but like blah, blah." So God turns like, "Y'all want to see him come back?" So people said, yeah. So he brought me back out. Now, the first intro, the first time I did my set, he brought me out. You ever seen the Five Heartbeats when the dude brings the Five Heartbeats with the whack end up intro?
Yes.
this guy said he better than Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor all rolled into one. He brought me up like that. Okay, so the next time he bring me up. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage from Chicago, Illinois. Man, y'all seen this brother before. Let him hear. Mr. Rodney Perry. They clapping for me. Now, I'm like, you cannot bomb again. Right?
Right.
So I edited in my mind to my closer at that time. I did my closing joke. I got a laugh. Wasn't no big laugh. But I got a laugh, and I looked at the audience. I took a deep breath. I said, you know what? I think that's all I'm going to get out of y'all tonight. You know, my name is Roger. Let me go. And so in those moments, I ran through all of those emotions. That's when I knew I would be moving to L.A. and pursuing my comedy career for the rest of my life.
That's crazy. You also have a radio show.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Rodney Perry, All the Way Live, Mondays, right here on Blog Talk Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the reason I wanted to do this show, well, there was a couple of things, but the big reason is in terrestrial radio, everything is so syndicated that it's hard for us to get on the air to advertise events. So I really created my show just to have a place to advertise my events.
Wow.
And, you know, outside of that, I also wanted to do some one-on-one interviews. I paint myself like a younger, hipper Tavis Smiley. You know, less political, but I like that one-on-one interview style. So that's really kind of what my show is about. I've had some great interviews. I've interviewed Monique. I've interviewed Kevin Hart. I've interviewed Kim Whitley. I've interviewed. I got an interview coming up with two porn stars.
Wait a minute. Wait. I'm trying to have a visual right now. How's that interview gonna go?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've been asking myself that. But I want to have an honest conversation. I want to get their perspective. I think we think we know them, but we don't.
We don't.
You know, or you know what you see, but you don't really know what it's like to live that life, you know,
right.
or to be a porn star and still have a relationship.
Right.
So that's some of the questions I'm curious about, and I happen to be an avid watcher of their work.
Well, do me a favor. Ask them, do they edit their moans in?
I can see the answer. Absolutely they do. You know, there are people, that's all they do. It's people that dub their moans, you know. Because, you know, some people be like this, sitting there chilling like, And so they might overdub her with you.
Oh, my God.
That's another one of my jobs. That was me. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Really? Need another job. I'm going to apply for that position, the moan girl. I could do that.
I think you can handle that because, you know, I'm getting excited about your voice right now.
You're so crazy. Oh, my God, Rodney, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. We got a couple of minutes left. I have a fan question really quick from the Sci Effect Radio Show fan page on Facebook, and they want to know what really happened with the Monique show. You know, people are saying that Monique said, you know what, this show is a hit. You know, y'all motherfuckers ain't paying us no money. We want some more money, and y'all ain't going to give it to me. Well, deuces. And then, you know, other people are saying, you know, there weren't a lot of people watching the show. It was in a wrong time slot. So let us get it from the horse's mouth.
Well, I don't know if I'm the horse, but I'll try to give you as good an explanation as I can. As far as I know, it wasn't about ratings. And I'll just give you the story as I saw it. I got a call the way we would do the show, we would shoot 150 shows from September to May. Then we would be down June, July, and August. We start preparing to go back to work. Well, we had shot 300 shows in 2 years, more TV than most people do in their whole life, so that was a huge blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
We were gearing up for the third season, and so I get a call and say, Rod, you know, the show has been put on indefinite hiatus, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but my bag stopped working the next day.
Oh, all right. Man.
So as of late, well, this year, Monique and I, we did a show in Chicago. So this is almost a year later to the day. And Mo and I did a show in Chicago, and she actually spoke about it in public for the first time. So I can only tell you, you know, her perspective as I saw her tell the story on stage.
Right.
And it wasn't even her. It was an alter ego that told the story that she created. But anyway, so the long and the short of it, it was some egos that it got involved that was probably, you know, way more powerful than they should be, and said, you know what, we don't have to have this show anymore. And they pulled it, just old some ego stuff, as far as I
can
see.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy because
I always say this, it was a huge blessing. The show put my name personally in the collective consciousness, whether people was nice or not, they were saying my name, and it's always a win. And I used to have people call me an Omni. You ain't, all you do is sit over there in that corner. I say, oh, yeah, but I bet you would take that seat if I decide not to sit in it no more.
Damn Skippy.
You damn Skippy. You know, so it was a huge blessing, man. And Monique, this people can't talk bad about that lady to me because she's been the straightest shooter in my life. If Monique tell you something, take it to the bank and cash it in.
Yes.
You know, and I can't say that for everybody I've dealt with.
I definitely agree. I had the pleasure of meeting Miss Monique when I auditioned for one of her reality shows. And let me tell you, she told me one day I was going to be a star. I'm shining, and that's all I need. That was the only inspiration that I need because, as a female trying to do the comedy thing and the acting, that was my moment where I decided to choose to pursue comedy. And one day I'm going to have you both back on here at the same time. Or, you know,
I love it.
Hey,
I'm down like four flat tires, man. I really am.
Man.
And one thing that's beautiful about her, and I don't want to dwell on Ms. Mo because she's just my friend, but she would do stuff like she did for you all the time. Like she would go, Rodney, what you going to do when this your show one day? People don't say that. It was never any competition. Like, you know, I think one of the reasons our relationship worked is because we were never competing with one another. Like, if you work for a guy as a man, if you work for another guy, eventually that guy feels threatened by you, or that guy is like, you know, you become, you know, y'all might like the same woman or anything. But Mo and I never had that. It was always like family, like friends. She was always a mentor. She always gave me great advice. You know, even now, like, if I'm gonna do something in this game, I call Mo and get her thoughts on it.
Yeah.
You know, because she's been there, done that.
And and it's genuine. And when she says something, did you get chills? Do you get chills? Because it's like, damn, that deep. Wait a minute. Wow.
I'm used to it. She do it so much, I'm used to it. I don't even get cold no more.
That's crazy because I was like, oh, my God. But I want to thank you. Thank you so much, Rodney, for coming on the show. I'm going to see you in the A. I know you're doing big things out there. And also, you're welcome back any time. I've been listening to your show. I love the interviews. We come on at the same time, but ain't no competition because as soon as they stop listening to you, they can come over here and listen to the Side Effect and vice versa. So I love it. You inspire me. Thank you so much for that.
Hey, no, thank you so much for having me on. I know you got a choice of who you talk to, and I appreciate you taking out some time to holler at your boy.
It's a pleasure. Now, shout out your Twitter information. I see you on Twitter over there.
Yeah, I'm very active on my Twitter. I'm at Rodney Perry. My website is rodneyperry.com. And my Instagram is Rodney Perry Live. I get it in. I'm all over the place. And I got five Facebook pages. They all me. Trust me.
All five?
All of them.
All right. Thank you so much, honey. I wish you much more success. And one day we're going to bump into each other and be like, Rodney, you know who I'm is? You're like, hell no.
See. Now, sighed and told you I'm married, and there you go trying to bump into me again. This is what I'm talking about.
My
man, stay married with all this love
that's
around.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, the Psy Effect fan page. Also, I am Psy on Twitter. So tune in next time on the Psy Effect.